This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
It's Monday, October 19th. Episode 7 of the Four Stars Bird Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony. With me this week, we have Lucas.
Hello.
Returning to the podcast, we have Sam M, or American Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
And then returning to the podcast, Scott.
Hey.
How are you?
Now, I want to have a quick conversation, because both of you guys are from Cincinnati, and Sam, you had a story when we introduced you a couple weeks ago that you thought it was possible that Scott may have talked to your father when you were in the hospital. Is that how the story goes?
Yeah, that's how it goes, how I was eventually heard about. I was in hospital with a hernia surgery. It was spring of 2014, and there's this little middle-aged bald guy, and he's 5 foot, he's a little bit shorter than I am. He's waiting for me to get to the recovery. Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Oh gosh. No, yeah, that's my dad. No.
So, could you have talked to his father in a waiting area?
I 100% remember this. Yeah.
Goodness.
My mother was having breast cancer surgery, I was just sitting there waiting, and I don't even remember how we got to talking about it, but I said, "Oh yeah, there's a whole mess of people up in Chicago that have a really good time and watch Spurs and all that sort of stuff." And I actually think I gave him one of the old business cards to him that I just happened to have in my wallet. It was like the last one. And I gave it to him and I said, "Hey, you need to go check these guys out. They're really good people." And I think that was pretty much it. Because I think your surgery was pretty much done. And my mom's was just starting. So it was very much like a 10-minute conversation at the Jewish hospital here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, right. Wow. Right.
I 100% remember that.
By the mall.
I love it. It was, the story has been confirmed, because we actually talked to it. Had to have been Scott.
Yeah.
I
must have missed the episode you talked about it. And I have to go back through, because I have no recollection of hearing that, so I've got to go back and listen to that again, because that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
just before the week where we clobbered everybody, the three consecutive win week, it would have been the episode, I think, is that you were on, right, Sam?
Yeah, embarrassing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I must have missed that one.
Very, very, very. I'm glad we were able to confirm that story, but we have a lot to talk about today, so I'm going to move the conversation along, and we're going to break the ice by talking about we got a final signing. I was kind of excited. I think there was one position we had left to remain to address in some way, and that was center back, and we managed to get somebody who has reported talent for playing in the championship. Certainly the other Welsh players on the team back him, Joe Roden. So, what do you guys think of this move?
Everything that I've heard from the media and stuff so far has been pretty damn positive. They sort of think he's a little bit older than, you know, what a real hotshot, you know, player would be right now. But it seems like they have all, you know, I've seen harkings to John Terry and other reasonable center backs, although I don't want him to act like John Terry, but Yeah.
Sam, you had your hand up, I think.
Yeah. Last night, I went ahead and I watched a highlight reel of him on YouTube, and I was really impressed. He seems to be kind of harking back to when we first got Jan Vertonghen. I actually have a quote from, this is from Rob Phillips, who's from BBC Wales. It says, he makes good decisions and you rarely see him caught in the wrong areas. But if he does, he's quick enough to recover. Then when he does have the ball at his feet, he's really uncomfortable. I mean, comfortable, which is yeah. which is what modern day managers tend to put more of an emphasis on than they certainly used to. Which, given like at the match yesterday, I think that's something that we really need. He's also 6'4", which. You know, more of our modern day central defenders are taller. So I think, you know, if he's not, I mean, he's definitely going to be contributing in some amount this year. I mean, maybe we can see him take a big step up next year. I'm excited.
Is he left footed? Do we know if he's left footed?
That's confirmed in the same interview that I pulled up. Yeah. Left footed.
Right. Lucas, thoughts?
No, I think that the thing, it's always kind of hard to find YouTube videos to be the end-all be-all because everyone can look awesome in like a YouTube compilation highlights. I mean, I could throw a Jack Wilshere highlight tape together and he could look like a superstar on YouTube, but the guy sucks. I mean, everyone's high on him, apparently. Gareth Bale was pushing Mourinho, saying this is someone that you should really look at. So was Davies. So if Ben Davis and Gareth Bale are pushing him to be a teammate, like, it's not just because he's Welsh, it's because they actually believe in him. I'm excited that he's coming from the championship. I always have a bit of a soft spot there for center backs because you learn a different type of physicality in the championship as a center back because it's a whole other world down there, which translates really well into the Premier League as a center back. A lot of different leagues, they don't have center backs like, in different leagues don't have to worry about that type of physicality that you're going to be seeing in England. And we saw it yesterday with it's been one of Sanchez's downfalls sometimes is the physicality thing. So if he could come in and be comfortable as, like I said, coming from the championship, he should be comfortable with the physicality aspect. As Sam said, he's 6'4", a bit of a unit. So yeah, who knows? I don't think he's going to feature much in the fall, but yeah, I think definitely next summer he could get a good preseason and get going for us in the next campaign.
Yeah, well, I'm very excited because now we have competition at every position. We have at least two people that can play each spot on the pitch, and I'm just very excited for what that means for our team moving forward to have options when there's injury and just have that little bit of competition that leads people to play their best. So I'm excited for what's to come, and I'm certainly glad that we got the last acquisition, even if it was our third or fourth choice. Like I think to actually fill the position with the talent that may have some tools that would be useful in a Mourinho system is just a great decision in general. But let's move the conversation along as much as we want to dodge and weave from the topic that we're probably going to spend the most time on today. We have to talk about the West Ham match yesterday, Sunday. I think you're all on a high after that first half. Within the first 20 minutes, Spurs put three across, and they're looking like they're cruising, definitely dominating the game. We came back from halftime. It still looked like we were doing fine. We just took our foot off the gas a little bit and we're cruising on a 3-goal lead, which you can do with a 3-goal lead. It's not a 2-goal lead. 3-goal lead is pretty safe to cruise a little bit. And I certainly know that Mourinho likes to do that when play a sound defensive game when you have a lead. But that thing's kind of went wrong, and I think we're going to start the conversation with a question from our own Joe L., so Manchester Joe. And he asks, why are we cursed? So, Lucas, you got your hand up first.
Yeah, I hate that kind of talk of curse and crap like that and Spursy and all that stuff. But, I mean, when you watch that last 10 minutes yesterday, it's like, it almost feels like we are. I mean, I don't have much else to say about it. You can talk about Mourinho taking his foot off the gas, but I mean, there's no manager alive that would have been playing different yesterday. If you got that squad out there with 10 minutes left in a 3-goal lead at home, like, you could be playing Barcelona and I would expect you to still see out that lead. Like, there's no way people, like, you could say we took our foot off the gas, but we still had Kane rattle the post and we had Bale in on goal. Like, it wasn't like they were putting us under pressure for the last 45 minutes. Like, you could see the game shifting a little bit, but that was just a 10-minute calamity of errors that I've never seen anything like in my life. I've seen Spurs blow leads before. I've seen us blow big halftime leads. I've never seen – but those teams usually, we weren't that good back in the day. Like, the team that was out there yesterday – the way we had been playing, everything had been going so well. I've never seen a bigger 180 in all the years I've watched football. I've never seen anything like it. It was just 10 minutes of just everything that could go wrong, just in the weirdest ways, just fucked us. And I guess we are responsible for it. We had a lot of self-made errors there, but it definitely did feel like a little curse.
Well, Scott, you're nodding your head, so let's hear from you next.
It was about 75 minutes of pure bliss. I had, you know, it was just wonderful. I was happier than a clam. I was enjoying watching, doing all the stuff that, typical people who don't have anything to worry about do, you know, just checking your phone and like, oh yeah, that happened. And then watching again or, you know, but then the last, you know, 15 minutes, because that seems like it's a good round number, happened, and it wouldn't have been so bad except for an own goal, which unfortunately they happen, you know. It just is a fluke, you know. It wasn't a bad play, it just went off of his foot just slightly wrong. And then you have a worldie. I mean, that there's nobody who's going to be able to stop that, and it was a shock. It came from nowhere. I took that really hard for about 10 minutes after the game. And then I came to the realization that I was happier in that first 75 minutes than I had been in 3 years, at least. And yes, that last, you know, 10, 15 minutes sucked, but that's going to happen to everybody. Except for maybe Liverpool, because they're given, you know, but that's just me being gripey, you know, but everybody's going to have those really random games that just pop out of nowhere and somebody does something magical and somebody else does something really just unfortunate. Yeah. And then I felt better. Because ultimately we're better now than we have been in a long, long time. And that's what I'm taking away from it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Before
I go to Sam, I think you've led into our next question pretty well, Scott. So I'm going to go to the question and let Sam take the first crack at it. So this comes from the guy I'm calling Big Bird. It's at AP23871 on Twitter. He asks, losing the 3 points against West Ham is only on account of bad luck. Given a range of reasonable performance by our squad, i.e. allowing for a normal propensity to errors, this result is always a possibility. The result doesn't say much about Spurs' capability. Am I right? In other words, he continues in another tweet, no matter how well a team plays, results like this just happen in the sport. A team can't be error-free 100% of the time. Do you agree with all that, Sam?
I disagree just a little bit. We've got to also consider that West Ham, prior to this game, prior to the international break, was also in a good run of form. They had trounced both Wolves and Leicester, who the previous week had trounced City. So, I mean, be honest, like, it's kind of this season in general, like, the only team that really has been touched really much is Aston Villa, which I can't really explain. but really, yeah, there is margin for error. We were the better team the most of the game. I just remember watching the first half. It kind of seemed like when we were giving the ball away, it was only in the attacking third. How often has that happened for us? But we're always going to get West Ham's best shot. There are some teams, I mean, some players on that team that I do rate relatively well. Antonio Rice is as good as midfielder as there any is in the league right now, and Jared Bowen. So we're going to get their best shot. We came off on the right foot, and we stayed on it until, Scott said, the final 15 minutes. So, yeah, I guess there was some bad luck in that final 10 minutes. That's a big part of the explanation. But West Ham's not a bad team, and unfortunately I expect them to stay up this year.
Yeah, and I think before we go to Lucas, I think we have this tendency to overreact as a fan base, and we talk about it on a podcast that's a weekly. You're only as good as your last result when you're talking every week about the same team, and maybe it is good to take a step back and say, well, maybe there's just a bit of bad luck here. But what do you think, Lucas?
I think going back to Big Bird's question, I agree with him in the grand sense that, like, yeah, this stuff does happen. You can take the best teams in the world, and sometimes these games just happen. They fall apart in these weird ways. I think it was 2014 where Liverpool was up 3 away at Palace in, like, the 79th mm-hmm. minute, and they ended up drawing that one 3-3. So the exact same thing happened to them with Palace. I think it was, like, Dwight Gale or somebody had a couple of late ones. But so that stuff happens. But where I would want to put a little bit of emphasis is he said, like, sometimes these mistakes just happen. But the thing that you kind of want to caution is they seem to be happening a lot from the same group of people. It seems to be the same few guys making these mistakes. So I'm not saying let's just everyone freak out and leave, just sell Sanchez right now. But, like, Sanchez and Dyer they always have those mistakes in them. It's like how we kind of felt about Serge, and we're feeling less and less about Serge because Serge has been putting in these great shifts lately and has looked a lot better under Mourinho. But
true.
Pochettino Serge was, like, a great player there, but was always
scary.
Always that one mistake that could fuck us. And it's like that seems to be what we're seeing with, like, Dyer and Sanchez a lot, even though Dyer wasn't out there yesterday. But it seems like it's the same handful of suspects that are making these mistakes time in and time again.
Well, on your point, Lucas, like, Aria did have something to do with the free kick that led to the one goal. And granted, I don't think it was it should have been a free kick. But he certainly didn't do himself any favors with how he was handling the ball in that situation. And certainly allowed the situation to develop the way it did. Not that I'm causing Aria a problem, calling him a problem with this match, because I think he played very well in this match. But he still has that propensity for mistake in him, I think, and also maybe doesn't always have the right instinct on the ball. I think it can be an issue with him. And yes, Sanchez is certainly a problem too. I think it's a good time to shift into more of a player conversation. So maybe we should go right to the last question that we have today, in fact, and we're rolling right through questions, but they all had to do with this West Ham match. But Shubes asked us a bit about players. He says, guess Winks may be a candidate for scapegoat of the match. Often said that he and Sissoko don't seem to play well, especially in the double pivot, nor in a three yesterday. Both are solid pros, not lacking in given effort. One, why do you think this is the case? Two, are you concerned Jose has not been able to remedy this? Or simply does our hubris of being 3-0 up after 80 minutes come back to bite us in the ass? So who wants to tackle all that first? It looks like Lucas, you have your hand up.
Yeah. Again, I don't see much of it as hubris. I think that, like, when you're 3-0 up in the 80th minute, you should feel comfortable. If you don't feel comfortable putting somebody on to see that job out, they shouldn't be on your team to begin with. Like, we've talked about how great our squad is. There's not a guy I wouldn't trust. I'm not the biggest Winx fan. I think Sissoko has actually looked better in the recent couple games, but we all know Sissoko's not good enough for the starting 11 that we want to see. But either one of them, you would expect to be able to go out and do that job. So I don't really feel like it was us taking our foot off the gas. I think Mourinho actually talked about it when we were post-game after United, because we stuck it to him and we were clinical and we were ruthless. And he talked about being ruthless and talking about respecting football, because football can, like, sometimes the game can come back to bite you. And I just think that that's kind of what it was. But I think the Winks Sissoko pairing, like, had we started with that, I would have had a massive problem. But I don't really have a problem with being able, because we were all saying it at the pub. Like, at halftime, I was like, let's get Harry Kane a rest. Like, let's get Son a rest. And we were all talking about it. So, we all thought, like, yeah, let's get these guys a rest. We got this locked up. I could
get Bale on the pitch.
Yeah, let's get Bale some run. Let's get some legs or minutes in his legs. Let's do this and that. So we were all thinking it. And then all of a sudden, it bit us in the ass. And I think it was a freak thing. I felt comfortable seeing, like, a Winx come on, or Bergvine, or whoever it was, and Lucas first Son. It's like getting Dombele a rest. Like, I felt comfortable with all that at the time. And then it was just a couple of crazy moments that just all seemed. You usually get one of those that happens in a game in that situation. You don't get three of them that happen within 15 minutes. So it was. I don't think it's like Scott was saying. I don't think it's anything to freak out about. It was just one of those crazy, crazy moments and crazy ends to a football game that happens every once in a while. And we just happened to be on the other end of it.
You know, I did think it wasn't necessarily so much of a problem of Winks coming on as Ndombele coming off. And it really seems like we have a problem if either Ndombele or Lo Celso or both aren't on the pitch. Like, it seems like our midfield runs into some problems when we don't have one of those guys available to us at a given time. Scott?
I don't think Winks and Sissoko can play together. And I am not a technical person, but when I see that and when I see them together, that's always the time when I think Winks or Sissoko sucks. Like, I just think terrible. You know, they play. Just, I don't think they play very well together. And I think that's the root cause of it, is because they're probably two similar players. Neither of them want to really go forward. Neither of them want, like, really to shoot. So I think when they're on, that's why our style of play changes so much, is because they seem to be cut from the same cloth, even though, obviously, giant black man versus smaller white guy. You know, I mean, it's... But it's still the same sort of play style. And I don't think Winks is good enough, and I don't think Sissoko is good enough. But when you have them with an in-form Ndombele or an in-form Lo Celso or something like that, then it works, because you've got your classical holding midfielder, and then you have the attacking player who actually can place those passes. But when you stick those two together, it just blows up. That's my theory, at least.
Well, Hoy Bear was still out there, so you would think that he would have helped us hold it together in the circumstances. What do you think, Lucas, quick, and then let's go to Sam.
Yeah, I agree with Scott there totally. I don't think either one of those is good enough. They're good enough to be our squad guys, but again, it's like they both kind of were. So, like, I don't see – it wasn't like the second day came on. Yeah, the game shifted a little bit. West Ham got a little bit more of the ball. Again, like with Son, for example, imagine if Son did his hamstring in the 80th minute and we're up 3-0. Every one of us would have been losing our minds, being like, why was he still out there? So it's like, either, like, in that moment, it should have been fine. Like, I'm okay watching Winks and Sissoko go out there and protect a 3-goal lead at home against West Ham for 15 minutes. I should be okay with that. I mean, it's just...
Except for forward, Worley and an own goal.
I mean, and like we said, we still had with that, like with the subs off, we still had Bale breaking on goal with like getting one on one with their keeper. You would think that goes in 99 times out of 100. So it just it. I don't want us to rip too much into the player personnel issue, just because I think it was. We got to remember we played fucking lights out for 80 minutes, and then it was right.
It
just happened, and I don't have many words. I mean, I'm still speechless when I think about it, but yeah, I don't think we can. Winks is always an easy scapegoat. I was freaking out about his clearance, the way he wasn't able to get that ball cleared at the end there. Like, I would love to see him just smash that Wanyama style. But yeah, it just one like that happens. That goal goes in maybe once every 1,000 shots, and it was just, of course, it happened to be that one.
Yeah. Well, Sam, what are your thoughts?
I mean, that goal, it kind of really – I watched it again, and it brought back, like, the memory of the North London Derby during the restart, Lacazette's first goal. It was almost similar to that. The difference was we had 70 more minutes to play, and we ended up winning the game. This is a little bit harder to take just because it's at the beginning of the very end of the game.
There's so a heartbeat away from the whistle. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I mean, it's something that, you know, strategically we've got to look back at. Hey, this is the same mistake we've made in less than 5 months. Let's not do it anymore. Let's just clear the ball out when we've got an attacking player right there. But going back to Winks and Sissoko, I just don't see them really working together. And unless we absolutely have to, there's no reason why they should be on the pitch together. It just, in my opinion, but I would think Jose knows that better than I do.
Scott?
I mean, if you look at this team, from 2 years ago, say calendar years ago, to now, they at least seem to have the ability to learn from their mistakes. Whereas I don't think the first four years of Pochettino, I think they did learn. So I hope that we're getting this all out of our system now, so that come the end of the season, 3 games in, maybe we've got something to play for, maybe we're in touch with something, you know, maybe, and that worldly goes in, then we're much more devastated. So we're just getting it out of our system. It's all good.
I'll be quick just touching on something Scott just said right there. Like, it seems like we do have that ability now to learn from our mistakes. When you look at that, the way that Newcastle game ended, I mean, right now we're sitting in, what, 7th place or whatever, and we've left 4 points on the table. You take away the Newcastle penalty and you take away the craziest 10 minutes we've ever seen, we got 4 extra points right there. But after that Newcastle game, it was like, oh, my God, how did we let that happen? We had so many opportunities to bury him and we couldn't finish him, and that's what ended up biting us in the ass. And then after that game, you saw this run of form where all of a sudden we did look clinical, and when we got our chances, we burned teams, we put 7 past Bobby Heifer, we throw 6 down United, we came out yesterday, we throw 3 down their throat in the first 30 minutes. So it does seem like we're learning, so hopefully there's a lesson to be learned in that 80th minutes yesterday, that we don't see anything like that happen ever.
Exactly.
I think Sam, you were trying to get a point in.
Yeah, again, it's still, even though it feels later than it is, we're still only 5 matches into the Premier League season. And
it feels like it's later because they had the end of the season. So I mean, it totally feels like one big lump of a season so far. Yeah,
and we're only still 5 points out of the top spot. And it's anyone's league this year, and that was established firmly on Saturday when it was announced that Virgil van Dijk had to needed ACL surgery. But unfortunately with that, anything can happen.
Dyke thing, they don't have to wait as long to try and replace him, though. They can, the winter window is opening up pretty quickly, so they might not have to wait too long to try and fill those shoes. But they're awful big shoes to fill, of course. I mean, without a doubt. But they might be able to do something to try and fix that. But nobody's looking like they're going to run away with it this year, unless you're Everton. And I think we have to think that maybe they'll be competing for top four at the end of the year, but. I don't think any of us think that they'll be able to hold on to the top spot in the league past the winter.
I did have a bit of a nightmare the other day that I had a sort of a dream that Everton was going to be this year's Leicester City. And I was just like, no, you motherfuckers. I will burn Everton.
Yeah.
Well, I can't bear the thought of that just because I won't be able to watch the Men in Blazers because God knows how Rog Bennett's going to react. And they have their first real challenge coming up, too, which is Ricarlison's red card. I mean, that's three-match suspension right there of a key player. And quite frankly, their squad's not as deep as ours is.
Yeah.
So, well, that is true. That's the big thing. Yeah. Why did we not sign James Rodriguez? Why did we not go for him?
good question. Right. No question. Lucas, quick point, and then
yeah,
I think
quick, we'll, I just these years happen every once in a while in the Premier League where you have it just kind of is a total scramble and no one seems to really want to grab that top spot like the. Everyone kind of has a downslide of a year, or like United can't figure it out, City doesn't look the same, Liverpool gets an injury, and all of a sudden it's up for grabs. So when those years do happen, you got to hope that you're able to capitalize it. Because that Leicester year, we were there and we didn't jump on it, and that should have been our season, and instead it's theirs, and it's the Leicester years will always be what it's known as. So this year, if something like that happens and it's up for grabs, I'm more confident knowing that we got Jose at the helm and we got this squad of guys to try and go after it. So I'm hoping that we take a deep breath after yesterday. And if this ends up being one of those crazy Premier League seasons where anything could happen, I hope that we're in a better position to be in the driver's seat.
Well, yeah. we're even at least double depth, you know, depth of our squad versus that Leicester year. I mean, that's why we lost to Leicester, is because we had almost the same starting 11 every single game for the last 2 months. And that you can't just do that. You can't do that to be, you know, it doesn't work. So we have going for us, especially.
Well, I think in November and into early December, we have some serious matchups coming up against some key teams. And depending upon how we come out of that, we might be able to stake our claim that we belong towards the top of the league or maybe at the top if we're really going to dream. I don't think any of us want to say that. That does seem like
I have thoughts that I shall not speak of.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go to MVP, LVP. We're going to start with Sam for MVP.
MVP is pretty much clear to me. It's got to be Harry. Two goals, one assist, three goal involvement, all involved directly in all three goals. It's Harry.
Yeah, definitely.
Plain and simple.
Yeah, no arguments here. Pretty clear as day on that one. The guy's just playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah. Scott, anybody different?
No. Harry's on fire. He's as nasty as he has been in a long, long time. And he has this – well, actually, he's probably worse just because of the fact that he has this this assist ability now, which we haven't really seen from him before. But yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's Jose seems to know how to get the most out of him. Like he's letting him, he's just such a well-rounded player. He has so many skill sets. Like he can do anything, and to let him be the facilitator to make everything happen up there when you get near the box. Or not even near the box. You can do like these worldly passes from distance into the box and get it to people. He's just such a special player. It's so magnificent that we're going to watch him. And 4 months ago, when we were talking about how he may have been done, or like just because of the ankle injuries, he was never going to be the same again. Well, he's proved all that wrong, hasn't he? Scott, you want to jump in with something?
Yeah, I did want to say one player that I thought kind of right behind Harry yesterday for MVP, Reguilon. It's clear that this guy, in my opinion, he's going to be a real player. That cross that he delivered to Harry on the third goal was fantastic. It's something that we haven't seen since prime Danny Rose from that left-back position.
That header was probably the prettiest header I've seen in years. Just from the service into the box and Harry being at the exact right place, the exact right time. It was not emotional, but it's probably equal to his header against Arsenal when he headed it in for his second. I think Reguilon is going to be a guy. He's going to be a guy. And that worries me because Real may just want him back.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm worried they're going to buy him back if he plays as magnificent as he looks. But we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. And for now, he's going to be
for
great
this year,
for us.
He's ours.
Yeah. Let's go to LVP. We'll start with Scott this time for LVP.
Oh, poor old Sanchez. I have to give it to him. He just was out of sorts. Just for the entire game, just seemed like he was sort of halfway off the pitch, not really there. Caveat to that, I have not watched the game over again. I specifically decided not to do that for a couple days just to let it cool down. So my opinion may change, but at this point, my gut reaction is Sanchez.
Yeah. Okay. Lucas?
No different. Sanchez. To me, the own goal is just that stuff in football happens, but it's just it can't happen then. You can't have that happen in a moment where we need you to be that back line and be anchoring the ship, so to speak. It's like it can't be you right there that just puts that game into chaos mode, and now they're just trying to get anything in to get that third goal. That second goal goes in, take away that own goal, it's like we still coast to that 3-1 lead. That just made it everything flipped. And for the first goal too, I think he needs to be better in the air. He just gets bullied sometimes when he's up in the air for those balls. And yeah, that first goal, you take away any one of those first two mistakes from him, and we don't have to worry about the wonder goal of the century being the one that screws us.
Yeah, no, good shout. Sam?
I agree with Sanchez. I mean, he's got to start figuratively using his head, not literally using his head. There's no reason why he should have, headed that ball there. And to me, kind of seeing him play the way he does, it's just disappointing after we invested that much money in him and after his what I've thought was a very good debut season for him.
Yeah. So, Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
I'm just in thought right now.
No, I got you. Yeah, and it's tough not to say it's Sanchez, but I think I will. Sorry, Shubes. I think I will make Winx my scapegoat. And for very specific reasons, it's just when he came on, everything fell apart in the midfield. And I guess we could just as easily blame that on Gareth Bale, but certainly Gareth Bale wasn't losing the possession. And we just had so little of the ball, and the ball was in our box constantly, and we didn't. It's like we lost control of the game altogether once Ndombele came off. And if you can't be a suitable substitute to just see out a game, when a guy like Ndombele comes off. I don't expect him to be as good as Ndombele, but I expect him to just hold it together, recycle possession, get rid of the ball fast if the team's pressing you for goals. It just seemed like he led to the situation that Sanchez's bad play created the fail, but the situation wouldn't have had the ball in our box that much if it hadn't been for Winks being inadequate to replace Ndombele. I hate to say it, but and that might be a little unfair to Winks, but I do think it was a big part of this the last 10 minutes and how it went down. So I'm going to give it to Winks. Any other final thoughts before we wrap up the conversation on West Ham and go to half? Okay, I think that about wraps up the half. The second half, we have two matches to preview. We're going to talk about the upcoming Europa League match against LASK and then the EPL match against Burnley. But first, we are going to go to Luke's Locks after this word from our sponsor. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contests, and Squares. At MyBookie, it's time to celebrate the NFL season. Sign up now and make your first deposit to get a dollar-for-dollar match all the way up to $1,000 and grab yourself a free entry into the famed MyBookie Super Contest. To play in the contest, all you have to do is pick five NFL teams against the spread to have a chance at $100,000 guaranteed in cash prizes. The best part is, MyBookie has thousands of bets to choose from, the full NFL slate, and the NBA playoffs. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code HOTSPUR, HOTSPUR, and double your first deposit now. It's a no-brainer. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Okay, well, now let's go to Luke's Locks.
All right. So, speaking of my bookie, here is your free cash advisory here. So, get yourself some free money with these four picks of the week. We got Villa and Leeds coming up on Friday. Villa at home, and that one is over-under set at 2.5. So, let's jump on the over for that one. That's a lock. Over 2.5 goals there. And then I'm going to actually play two bets on Spurs on Sunday. That's going to give us a nice little parlay if you want there. You can go Spurs are going to be minus a half goal. Jump that one. We're easily going to win. And over 2.5 is this over-under there, so it's pound the over because we can't keep clean sheet and we're going to win. So makes sense. So over 2.5 and Spurs minus a half. There's your two locks right there on that game. And then the final lock of the week is Southampton at home to Everton. The over-under is 2.5. We're going to go over again, taking three overs this week. But Southampton and Everton are just pumping in goals right now. So jump on these lines while you can. Over 2.5 there. There's your four free locks. Go get rich.
Well, thank you for that, Lucas. And you certainly can do that betting on MyBookie, our sponsor. So it's a good matchup with Luke's Locks for sure. But anyway, to roll into the second half, I just want to get right into the upcoming preview that we have. So this Thursday, we kick off our Europa League group stage campaign at home against LASK. That's an Austrian Bundesliga team. This Thursday, October 22nd at 2 p.m. here in Chicago. Currently, LASK sits in fifth place in the Austrian Bundesliga with 7 points. That's 2 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss. Their most recent match was a 3-0 win in the Austrian Cup against Wargel. They lost against Rapid Vienna prior to that. They beat CP in Wolfsburger AC prior to that. And then
I think this is the best part about being in the Europa League.
Yeah, the teams that you get to
Anthony's pronunciations of the week. It's my favorite.
Exactly.
Upcoming take on.
Except I can't call him on it this week because I'm like, I don't know who these people are.
But anyway, the top goal scorer is Marco Reguse with
Marco
2. Peter Morkel has 2 assists. And then Jernot Trauner is their top rated player with 8.19, which is actually a pretty good rating in the sport. So he might be somebody to watch out for.
I'm telling you, people, this shit is gold.
I'm obviously not familiar with these guys, but what do you guys expect as far as lineup, how we match up against this team? Should we take it for granted that this will be an easy match, or should we come prepared for a tough battle? Lucas?
I think we might have seen a different... Had yesterday not happened the way it was, I might think we would have done a little bit more rotating than we otherwise might have. I think it's going to be kind of one of the... want to come out and send a statement, kind of correct what happened yesterday, and we're definitely going to want to get the 3 points right away, especially at home in Europa. You have to win these home games. I would love to see loads of rotation, though. I think we'll see rotation from the fullbacks. I expect to see Davis and Doherty out there. We'll probably see, depending on how fit Dyer is, we might see Dyer come back. But I don't see maybe Tanganga. So I expect to see a lot of rotation, but I'd be hoping to see Vinicius out there instead of Kane, give Kane a rest. But like I said, I don't think with the result yesterday, I think the win is so important now that I expect to see Kane starting. I wish that wasn't the case, though.
I think that's probably pretty true. Although I think if we do go up before half and, you know, play a couple minutes and the second half well, I think the guy who I completely forgot about on Sunday, when they mentioned his name on the TV, I was like, who's that? Oh, that's right. We picked up a striker. So I'm kind of behind. I have yet to really grasp the fact that we have a second striker. But I think that, you know, they might rotate them off during this. But I don't expect them to go easy on these people. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? They expect it on this team. But I guess you never know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, I think it's just really important for these home Europa fixtures that you get. Like, it's really important to grab. You have to take all the points in these home games. And then when you kind of get control of the group, then you can maybe take it a little easier when you have a good lead in the group and you're going out to play in Austria. You might not send the whole squad or something. But when you get these opportunities in London, it's like you got to knock 3 points out right away.
True.
Well, and to be fair to a team like this, like they may be able to put more focus into this match than we can. They're taking on like a lower league team in SKN St. Politon or whatever on Sunday the 25th. That might be something that they can say, well, we can kind of cruise in that one, so let's put all of our effort into Spurs and see what we can accomplish. Like, maybe this is where we show what we can do. So I don't think we can take anything for granted with a team like this. We certainly don't know what they might be able to throw out at us. They're obviously not performing that well in their own league right now, which leads me to believe that we should be able to handle it, but you never can be sure. I think, Lucas, you had your hand up first.
Yeah, no, I just want to say, like, I think one of the nice parts is with a squad this deep that I don't think I've ever seen us have this amount of squad depth, that we can talk about rotation. We can talk about loads of rotation in this game without it meaning that we care any less about this game. Like, we can do loads of rotation and still expect a really good squad of guys to come out and do their job. We can have, like, Lucas and Lamella and these guys that have been proven to be able to go do a job, and we can maybe give an Ndombele a rest, start a Sissoko or start a Winks, hopefully not together, of course, but like we can put a rotated squad out without it meaning we're just taking this game lightly.
Right.
Yeah. No, good show. I think, Scott, you had your hand up too?
No, but he pretty much kind of touched on it.
Okay, Sam, any thoughts before we go to predictions?
Yeah, I do expect to see some rotation. I expect to see Harry Kane play, see him start, just not hopefully not no more than 60 minutes, because I think we need the goals. B, we need to give Vinicius some sort of look sooner rather than later. He can't really sit on the bench too long. He deserves a look. But at the same time, the Burnley game is not until Monday, so that does give us a little bit more flexibility than we would have had if the game were on Sunday.
To be fair, though, we play next week in the Europa League too, so we were going to have a short rest match after that Burnley game. So
true.
That crimps that planning, but I agree. Like, this is the one that like we have some time to. We have that extra day rest and extra day of training to prepare for the Burnley. So that might benefit us there, and we can do a little bit of rotation. And I agree. Like, I think we need to get our new striker out there, or at least get some minutes. Even if it's not the start, get significant time, and unless it's really close, and hopefully we can just do what we did in the qualifying for Europa League, the last qualifier, and just put a bunch behind them real fast, and then rotate sub off the guys that we need to rest, and just cruise it to a pretty good win. But it's tough to plan on cruising after watching that West Ham match. So you're kind of going to be a little anxious, even if we get a few goals in.
I'm always anxious.
That's to be expected.
Same here.
But let's go to predictions, and let's start with Scott this time.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're going to win 4-2. I think our defense is still, very sieve-like, but I think we'll have enough to get past them, 4-2.
Okay, who's your goal scorers?
I think we'll go up early, so I think. Harry's going to get two, and then I'll give Bale one, and we'll say Reguilon.
Okay. Good show. Lucas, what do you have?
I have 3-1. I think we're going to – I don't trust us to keep a clean sheet in Europa because we haven't yet. But, yeah, I got 3-1, Kane, Lucas, and Lamella. Lamella always loves a good Europa run out.
Yeah, no, good show. Sam?
I'm going to go 5-2. I think, we start, they'll get a goal in the first half, but we'll start putting the hurt on early, and they'll get something maybe a little bit cheaper later in the game. I give my goal scorers, I got Harry Kane with 2, Lamella with 1. I'll give Højbjerg one as well, and I'll give Vinicius a goal on his debut.
Okay, good show. I think that Mourinho does like this competition, and he's certainly not going to take it lightly. I do think we're going to see our strongest players in this match, but maybe not time. I do think it's going to be a high-scoring match like you guys have predicted. I think it's going to be 4-1. I think we're going to get a goal from Harry. I think we're going to get a goal from Son. I think we're going to get a goal from Bale, maybe after he comes on in the second half again. And then I think we do get a goal from Lamella because he just loves the Europa League in general. So Lucas had a good chat with him. So I think that's a fair prediction. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Definitely going to be at the Atlantic watching that one. And I hope it's... I hope we go far in this league this year. I'm really excited for even though it's not Champions League anymore, I'm excited to still be in Europe and have some of these teams that never going to see.
You're making Lucas uncomfortable.
I am making him comfortable. But any final thoughts before we talk about the Burnley match? Okay, let's shift to the Burnley match. So this Monday, the next Monday, so right before we record the podcast next week, we will be taking on Burnley away. That's Monday, October 26th at 3 p.m. here in Chicago. That's got to be a daylight savings time issue. I think English daylight savings time must happen or something. Currently, Burnley sits 18th place in the league with 3 points. I'm sorry, 1 point. That's 0 wins, 1 draw, and 3 losses. Most recently, they drew West Brom on the weekend, 0-0. They lost to Newcastle prior to that. They lost to Man City prior to that. They lost to Southampton prior to that. And then they beat Millwall in the League Cup prior to that. Upcoming, it doesn't get any easier for them. They take on Chelsea on the 31st, Saturday the 31st. So they got another tough match to look forward to. Their top goal scorers right now are both are Westwood, Dunn, and Wood, all with one. Their top assist man is Dwight McNeil with one. Their top rated player is James Tarkowski with 7.16, and Dwight McNeil is behind him with 6.80. The last 5 times that we faced Burnley, most recently in March 7th, right before the shutdown, we drew them 1-1. Prior to that, we beat them 5-0. In February 2019, we lost them 2-1. And then if you go back to December 2018 and 2017, respectively, we beat them both times going backwards. So, that like Burnley sometimes can be a bogey for us, or kind of like that trap game that we get caught in sometimes. Often we handle them pretty well. Where are you guys at? What do you think on this, Lucas?
I think that realistically right now we're talking about a Burnley team that's not playing well. I think they're in the league, they've lost to like Leicester, Southampton, Newcastle. You got like a they think today was it they had the 0-0 draw against West Brom, but this is a team that realistically, if we show up, we play the way we've been playing, we should have no bother beating this team. It's just going to be one of those tricky ones where usually I don't expect a lot of the lower side teams to park the bus at home as often as they do on the road. Like when you're at home, you usually want to at least be playing for your fans. But since there are no fans,
right.
It wouldn't shock me at all if Burnley comes out and parks the bus. So this is the game. Can we unlock them? If we can unlock them early, find a way to get a goal in, I think this game turns into a beatdown. This is one of those games, though, where the longer you don't get that goal, and knowing that we have a mistake potentially in us, you want to see us find a way to get that goal, maybe one or two in the first half, and just ice it. But, yeah, realistically, if we play the way we're capable of, there's no reason we shouldn't beat this team handedly.
Okay, Sam, I think you had your hand up next.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't like hearing the two words Burnley away, just because of our last two matches there. Granted, the spring of 2019 version, you know, saw the start, the Mike Dean row there, started the run of bad run of away form that we had. That was kind of covered by our run in the Champions League. And obviously, granted, it was right before lockdown was when we had a rough draw there. Granted, our entire attacking depth was pretty much out for that game.
Yeah.
So I'm typically nervous before games, no matter who we play, just because we're Spurs. We've kind of come to expect the worst. So, but at the same time, this is not right now, not the Burnley team we have played. You know, they're not, there aren't any fans there. Typically, it's been a rough place to play for just about anybody when there are fans there. But I feel a little bit comfortable just knowing that we have a squad that has a tougher mentality, that is attacking, and they're typically a more defensive side. So I just kind of want to see us. We're capable of scoring early and often. If we do that, they're going to be in full retreat mode.
Do you have a quick point, Lucas, before we go to Scott?
Yeah. I was just going to kind of touch on what Sam said, where I get how we have those tendencies based on how we've been in the past couple of years, but this is a new team, and this is why I don't feel Turf Moor usually might be a spot where you're a little kind of like a dodgy, we have some dodgy form up there and weird things turn to happen. But like I said, you take away the Newcastle goal on a free kick that wasn't a free kick, and then it was offsides, and then it wasn't a handball, like the craziest thing there, and then you take away the craziest 10 minutes I've ever seen yesterday, and we're flying, and we, like, this is a new us, and it's new leadership. We got proven winners. We got guys that I feel comfortable breaking a team down with, where I can't say I've ever really had that in the last couple of years. Usually that team that wants to park the bus always makes me nervous, and now I'm like, fuck it, I know we got guys. Like, park the bus. Gareth Bale will just bash one from outside the box. We don't care. Like, so, I mean, I have no problem. It's just we got to kind of transition into that positivity where the bogey teams and the bogey grounds in the past aren't going to be that way for us moving forward now. Got to keep the head up.
Yeah. Well, and I think you did a hit on something earlier, Lucas. We have to get that early goal to roll over these teams, especially when they're playing defensive. And that was something that Pochettino's sides really struggled with, and early Mourinho as well. Not to just gloss over Mourinho's trouble with it when he first came on board too. Now, this is a very different squad with a lot more depth and I think a lot more technical ability. But if we struggle to get that goal, this could be a long day entirely. What do you think, Scott?
Ultimately, I think we're going to win 2-1. I think it's going to be a really hard game to watch. I think it's going to be like we'll score early and then we'll, you know, it'll just get bogged down. Then they'll get some, you know, they'll get their goal. And then we will actually come and win it within the last 5 minutes. I think it's going to be that kind of a just sitting on the edge of your seat, unfortunately, again, going, okay, why is this happening? What's going on? And then like a release. So I think Harry will be involved in at least one. And then I'm going to go with Son because I think he'll play on Sunday, Monday, whenever it is.
And they'd be happy to play for a draw, I'm sure. I mean, when you're fighting a relegation battle this early in the season, a point looks pretty good for a team like Hotspur. True. So, yeah, good shout there. Lucas, you have another point?
Yeah, I just think, like, it's one of the things that's nice from us is, like, we kind of know how this team wants to play. I know that, like, last time we played them at our stadium, like, last December, and we beat them 5-0, it was it was literally just a matter of having Dyer stand there and man mark Chris Wood. It was all they wanted to do. Their entire game plan was just lump it up championship style, just lump it up to Chris Wood. Like, that was their whole plan. We just had Dyer stand in his pocket the whole game, and they had absolutely nothing. So if you can do, like, so I think knowing that how they're going to play and how they're going to set up benefits us. We expect them to park the bus, but we also expect that's going to be their outlet. It's just smash it up to Chris Wood, and hopefully he can hold the ball up and create something. But if we can take away the one thing that they want to do, I really feel we could go after him and throw some numbers up on him.
Well, and Mourinho's not afraid to play a little bit of a game of rope-a-dope with a team that's as bad as Burnley. Let them come forward, let them try and loop the ball up and then get caught too far forward and just make that quick counter.
Steal
possession.
Wasn't Son's amazing goal from last year, the, like, all the way down the pitch?
Yeah.
At Burnley? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, no, it's okay.
I don't think it's the Son goal. I'm pretty sure that was the Vertonghen assist you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, like, he's not afraid to, like, if a team like this is, if their only game plan is to loop the ball into one guy in the box, and, he's not afraid to let them get the ball in our half for a couple minutes and have a guy like Hoiberg out there who can steal it quick and a quick counter back. And that's sometimes how you can shut down these teams that are partly on you a little bit because they have to try for a goal at some point as long as you capitalize at that one point in time.
Right, right.
But it is certainly we were not good at that over the last few years. But it seems like we're starting to develop that skill once again with guys like Son and Harry that can make an amazing pass on a team that's doing that. Any final thoughts before predictions? And I know we already kind of heard yours, Scott. But
yeah, sorry.
who are your goal scorers again? You said Son and Harry.
Yeah, Son and Harry.
Okay, so Lucas, what's your prediction?
I think we win this comfortably. I think we win 4-1. I think this is a big game in terms of. I know we all felt really crappy yesterday after that result, but how do you think the players felt? Like, they have to be freaking pissed, and I would be shocked if we didn't see like just flexing a little bit on this team coming out and making a statement that yesterday was a fluke and that we're not going to let crap like that happen anymore. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to flex a little bit of muscle and throw 4-1 on them. I'm going to say my goal scorers. I'm going to say Kane Brace. Let's say Son gets one just because you can always pretty much expect a Kane assist to Son at this point. And then I'll say my last one is Ndombele.
Oh, okay. Good shout. Sam, what's your predictions on this one?
I'm going to be bold. I'm just build off what Lucas said. Son did speak with Football London, Al-Nassr Gold, yesterday and said that the team was dejected after the game. Like, trying to figure out what was happening didn't feel good. So I definitely expect them to turn around this game. Again, I'm going bold here. I'm going to go 4-0. I think we're going to do it. We're going to keep a clean sheet against this team. I think we're capable of it, especially if we get up there early. With my goal scorers, I'm going to go with Kane, Son, Dele later in the game, and then again, going bold, I'm going to go Roden with a header.
That's that an interesting. I like that prediction. I'm going to one-up your bold, and I'm going to say we're going to repeat what we did in December 2019.
Yes.
Burnley, and say we're going to get 5-0. I'm going to say that we get 2 from Kane, we get 1 from Bale, we get 1 from Son, and we get 1 from Vinicius, who comes on after we've annihilated them already, and he gets his run of time on the clock after.
Why stop after, at 5? Yeah. Go full Rick and make it 6. We'll say 6.
10, for crying out loud.
I'm going to be realistic here. But,
That's why I'm never upset by, you know, losing or by getting, you know, getting outgunned, outbid, outplayed. I don't know what. Like if I predict 2-1 and it's 5-1, I don't care. That's awesome.
Yeah,
it's like it's like, yeah, but it's just one of those. I don't know. It's I think I vote with my heart. Or no, vote with my head and root for my heart.
Yeah. But this is a team that's looking very bad right now, and we are in good form despite the last 10 minutes of the match against West Ham.
Sure.
I mean, that doesn't change anything about the form that we've been in. We look legitimate. We have a strong midfield for once, even if you don't necessarily go to our bench on the midfield. Our attacking line is as good as any in the league, I think, right now, once Bale rotates in regularly.
Oh, sure.
I have a lot of promise that we can start rolling over these types of teams. And
it's
I think
all about the mentality at this point.
Yeah, I think – and Mourinho knows that he's got to get the mentality right. And yeah, there's been a lot of this roller coaster of like, we'll have that up. And then like last week where we steamrolled three teams and You know, we have that Chelsea, then the Europa League, and then Manchester United. I mean, that was such a high. And yes, West Ham was kind of a low as because of the result, but the match play was still there. So I think there's a lot to be excited about, Lucas.
There's absolutely a lot to be excited about, and that's the one thing I want to stress home from this podcast. It's if you take away the craziness, I've said it a couple times already, take away the crazy result, that silly play against Newcastle, and you take away the craziest 10 minutes of football I've ever seen at the end there. You take that away, we're in second place, 1 point behind Everton, and probably every pundit, every commentator on the planet is stroking us off to be the like favorites to win the league.
Even Paul Merson.
Yeah, if you take away those two moments, we're in second place by 1 point, and we are the odds-on favorite that everyone's talking about right now. So maybe it's a conspiracy theory. Maybe it's Jose's plan to try and keep us under the radar, not let us get too good too fast. So he wants us to win the league. We're going to win the league, but we're going to do it sneaky until, like, Christmas, and then we turn it on.
Fuck sneaky.
Fuck yeah.
I want 100 points in a season. I want a 50-plus goal differential. I want to walk into stadiums, just put their dicks out, and be like, okay, I surrender.
I want the league wrapped up by St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly.
Well, if you sneaky, then all of a sudden we're losing by like by 1 point or something at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like we have that devastation.
There's too so, much stress don't get on sneaky. My
own. Don't get sneaky. But no, there's a lot to be hopeful for here. I'm not going to let one West Ham game get me down. Like, let's see how this next week rolls out, and if it's more similar to what the week before international break was, then all the better. We had a fluke match, and we get past it. And let's see how we come back from a match like that. That's that will show the character of this team moving forward. But any final thoughts before I wrap things up? Okay. Well, thank you so much, guys, for being here. Thanks to Lucas. Thanks for Sam and Scott. I'm so glad that you guys actually did have that connection.
It was a good- yeah. It's awesome.
I'll go for
like
it.
To say thank you for that, Scott. I mean, definitely it's like these guys have been a treat ever since I've moved up here, so.
Well,
really appreciate
they
that.
they all made a family from family for me when I was up there, so I'm quite happy it worked out.
Yeah, same here. I mean, Lucas is something else, but everyone else is fine.
Okay, well, that about wraps it up. So thanks so much, guys. Thanks to Tommy for editing sound today. Charlie for the music. Kevin for social media. Lucas for Luke's locks. Kimberly for the logo, and as always, the Atlantic Bar and Grill for the use of the recording space, even though we're not recording there today, and we still love that place. Find our merchandise at Big Head Media, and thanks to our sponsor, MyBookie. Hit the subscribe button and write us a review on iTunes if you like our podcast, or give us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on Twitter and Facebook at 4StarSpurs, and our website at 4StarSpurs.com. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.